Oh, hello everyone. It's nice to be here again from last year. We are OnTech. We're going to present our work and the updates we had since last year. Just to show of hands, how many of you have heard of us or have seen our work? Not that many people, which is all right, wonderful. So we're going to introduce ourselves to new people. My name is Louis. OnTech is, our objective is to democratize access to power electronics, which is the fundamental building blocks of the energy grid. And I am the co-founder with Jean of the OnTech Foundation and the OnTech Startup. So I am the president of the foundation.
And I'm leading the startup business counterpart.
And of course, somebody has got to do the hard work. So we have Clément, who's in the back of the room, who's without his great work, we would not be able to have the software up and running. How many of you have heard of power electronics? Just a quick show of hands, most of you. All right, wonderful. So they're the building blocks of all the grid. In electric vehicles, we find inverters, we find onboard chargers, the electric vehicle market is growing, and there's fierce competition in there. There's also small mobility, or e-bikes. We see, again, increasing demand for these sort of intermediary power vehicles. It's the same power electronic architecture. We talk about inverters again, or speed controllers. We got the onboard charging. We get into PV inverters. Well, we have string inverters at the scale of big PV plants or even household plants. But we also have microinverters for, we call AC PV, for balcony grid at lower voltages. We're also about grid connections. We find MMCs, which are big power converters for connecting different parts of the grid. We also have SSTs, which are solid state transformers, where we leverage power electronics to build transformers which are smaller, so smaller footprint. And we also talk about storage. We can see in batteries or H2, bidirectional inverters, charging, discharging these batteries. These batteries cost about 30 cents for watt hour, with having a great impact on how the grid works today. So all this creates a complexity barrier. That means that electronics are everywhere. We need to manufacture these electronics. We need to maintain these electronics. And it means that we need to go faster in R&D, and there is a scarcity of actually people who can do this work. There's less and less people who actually know how to get inside this complexity barrier. And we believe that people learn by doing. They have to solve problems which they care for. They want to provide electricity, you know, for their neighbors. They want to have a sustainable community next door. They want to have access to clean and renewable and cheap energy to themselves and to the people around them. So what we are trying to do at OnTech is we're trying to do in the power sector, in the power electronics, what Arduino and Raspberry Pi did in the industrial informatics and the informatics sector. We introduce hardware that is easy to use, reprogrammable, and then can be leveraged to create a sort of a power computer.
Okay, Jean, so he can talk about
that. I'm taking over on that, and so how can you do that? How can you do the Arduino or the Raspberry Pi of power electronics? It's quite hard because it's usually application specific, right? You have like this black box that depends on the application you are targeting. And in the end, it boils down to having a small brain that does a fast calculation and do the math that is involved into controlling the power flow, and muscles that will act on the power flow and realize your target application and make it a reality. So in our case, what we've done is we've divided the brain and the muscles so that you can use either the brain itself and use your own muscles. If you are a power electronics engineer and you have like your own converter, you can embed an open source firmware that contains all the APIs that you need in order to control the power flow. And this is what the spin board is about. It's a small, tiny board that you can embed on your own topology, on your own power converter, and control your power flow with open firmware. And so it aims at targeting a wide audience, right? So control engineers are not really familiar with embedded microcontroller, huge manuals and pages. They want to just focus on MATLAB stuff. And so we provide conveniences, GUIs, graphical interface, and MATLAB plugins in order to comply with the different ergonomics of the different crowd that is involved into making power electronics. And then we have like the muscles. And so for that, what we do is we leverage what we call power shields, which are add-ons that do a specific function according to the need of the user. And so what we've done is we've done power shields that are modular and that can communicate among different modules, and so that you can reach your power level depending on how many power modules you will parallel. And so this is how it works. So what we've done in V1, we came up with a comprehensive firmware that has plenty of features related to power electronics, right? So it must be hard real-time compatible. So if you are not able to control your power flow and you skip one control step, everything will crash. So you need to ensure that your control law will be applied at every time step. And then you have like plenty of functions that depends on that specific domain of power electronics. So what we've built is something that is comprehensive enough so that you can go from the silicon to the power transistors, to the power topology, and control it with this open firmware. So under the hood, there is Zephyr Artos, which is one of the big projects of the Linux Foundation, which does the big job of being future-proof and having like all nice high-level drivers and so on. And what we've built is some custom-made drivers to target the specific applications of power electronics. So what is now upstream in the last release candidate? Actually, we were supposed to release the version today, but we're a bit late. We are a few commits away. Anyway, what we've done is we've made it quite simple. Usually in embedded world, it's always really hard. You have like this well-known sentence. Yeah, well, first you have to install the toolchain, and then install the dependencies, and run a weird script, and eventually you will compile the source, and it may blink, right? So what we are trying to do is doing it dumb simple for people that are not IT specialists, because they are application specialists, they are related to, I don't know, automotive or grid or whatever, but they are no expert in embedded world, right? So we have like diminished the complexity barrier for that, and so we have like low-key examples that just you press a button and it will download all the dependency by itself. It will compile and you will be able to try it in a minute. Also, we came up this year with a new documentation center that explains everything with human-made documentation, which is not only auto-generated, so that you can have like handy comments and insightful examples in order to do some real-life power applications. And also, we've merged a really nice feature, is that like now you don't need a fancy oscilloscope in order to debug your application. You can just take the board itself, use the embedded sensors, and retrieve this live data that is pulled by the board itself really fast. And so you get like this kind of nice waveforms where you can see your grid slowly forming. In this case, it's a motor application. So I was saying we splitted the brain and the muscles, and you know we are at FOSDEM, so we cannot do a presentation without having a code slide. So here is how you have like a manifest that describes your hardware, and then from that, if you are the power guy, you just have to describe which sensors are on the board, which are the power transistors that will run the topology, and from there you can use the generic firmware that we've built to control your application. So you are not necessarily tied to the power shield that we've developed. Anyone can join with their specificity and their specific application. And from there, we can create this power book of different power shields. So yeah, the stable version is about to come because of the commits away. And like, I will go really fast because we are falling short of time, and we have like a small video showing a demo. But the hardware roadmap is basically creating power shields that are more and more powerful, and also having like new modules that will create and permit new applications. And we also have like new things where we are able now to parallel these modules, as I was explaining before. It's not only a schematic, it's a reality. And we are working hard, really hard, not to be able only to parallel the modules, but also to place them in series, to do kind of MMCs or advanced applications that could be really interesting for the future. Lastly, and what's coming next regarding the software, because I think it's really important to showcase what's the roadmap of the project. So now we are at the V1 step, right? We have multiple improvements that will be done in this year, which are related to the scheduling and the hard real-time part that is specific to power electronics. But also we want to embed some hardware unit tests so that we are able to comply and say, okay, even if any of you guys contribute to the project, we know that we won't break anything and that we still have the high performance we are expecting from the firmware API. As well as we want to introduce some high interface in order to do some hardware in the loop and fancy applications. Thank you. Chris?
I can wrap up. I will quickly show you. So we did a quick demo video for today. We'll try to go over it a little bit quick. The idea is that we can try to create a grid with two boards, right? In a grid, there's a grid forming inverter that creates the AC wave. And the grid, what we call the grid follow inverter, is an inverter that reads that AC wave and then synchronizes with it so it can actually inject power into that grid, right? To do this, you will need two twist boards, a power supply that will act as the battery or as the voltage source, a resistor, which in this case represents our grid, our load, and a bunch of cables. And of course, there's always a little quick magic, and everything is connected together. And we have a grid forming and grid following. We connect them to a computer. Here we're using VS Code. We can go through the interface of platform IO and choose the example. In this case, their grid forming, grid following inverter. We can download the example, click compile to build it. We can then click the arrow to flash the board. That sends through the bootloader the code to the board. And in this example, we need to watch the data that's actually been received by the sensor. So I put a little oscilloscope in there so we can have the real-time data. We turn it on. In this case, if you watch here, the voltage goes to 6 volts. In this case, we're building a small 10-volt grid. That's what it looks like for the grid forming inverter. So it's creating an AC wave. Then we launch the synchronization, so the grid following inverter, which is on the right, synchronizes, and then it launches power, so there's more power coming from the source. And what we see here, which is interesting, is that the harmonics go everywhere, goes crazy, but what is seen by the load is still an AC wave, which means it's a classic example of circulating currents between two inverters that we can study further and then can use this base example as an example to understand and go on through it. So as always, if you want to contribute, please show us your use cases, bring us, give us any hardware and feedback. Real-time enthusiasts, folks, please come talk to us because we need help on real-time. And the TSOs, DSOs, we're talking about MMCs and SSTs, so let's talk about that as well. Thank you.